Our gospel reading today comes from the Gospel of our Lord according to John in the 3rd chapter. Now, there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into a mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh God, we, like Nicodemus, come with questions, and we give thanks for your holy word that has answers and wisdom and draws us into deeper questions that draw us into deeper faith with you. And so may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of Jesus, whose words we study today, amen. Nicodemus had questions. Do you have questions? I have questions. If we've never met, I imagine that your questions might include, who is this Pastor Abby? Can I trust her? Will I like her as much as Pastor Dave and Pastor Hannah? How do so many people know her already? If we have met, when I was the associate pastor here years ago, I imagine your questions might include, what will Pastor Abby be like as senior pastor? How will our relationship be different since we both experienced so much since then? And questions we all might have might include, where is our church going from here? What's going to change? Will the things that I love stay the same? What is God dreaming up for us? So many questions, and big questions too, questions that matter a lot. I hope you come to a Get Chatty with Pastor Abby so we can dig into these and more, because I know that I can't pastor well unless I listen well. So these first four Sundays in July, as we are getting to know each other or getting to know each other again, I'm going to be sharing some of the core theological beliefs that guide my life and my preaching and my ministry, so that you can get a sense of me for the first time or who I am now as your pastor, to know that I'm somebody with a deep faith in Jesus and how I understand how we live that out. But worship is not about me. Sermons are not about me. Worship is about God, and sermons are about proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. So let's find some good news. God loves you no matter what. The point of today's sermon is so important that I made it the title, and I'm also just telling you flat out, the point of today's sermon is God loves you no matter what. So check in with yourself for a minute. When I say that, God loves you no matter what's going on in your mind, in your heart, in your body? For some of us, it might be a warm sense of reassurance, and for others, it might touch on our greatest fear. And for others, our minds might be running through a list of, well, what about? So let's go to our Bible, because that's always our source. Nicodemus has big questions. And we know that these are big questions that really have him wrestling with God, because he comes to Jesus by night. We know from other gospel stories, Jesus is pretty accessible during the day. He preaches to thousands of people at a time. He teaches in the synagogues. Everywhere he goes, people seek him out for healing. Next week, we're going to look at one of the many stories where Jesus and the religious leaders get into a public debate. So the point is, Nicodemus had ample opportunity to approach Jesus during the day and ask his questions. So why does he come by night? Is he afraid to look stupid? Is he afraid he'll be mocked or otherwise rejected by the other Pharisees? Was God dealing with him in such a way that he could not sleep and he couldn't stand it anymore? Are these questions so near and dear to his soul that he can't stand the vulnerability of asking them publicly? Like, I can't stand not asking this question about God anymore, but I'm also terrified that the answer is going to crack open my world, and then what? Maybe it's all of those, maybe it's something else, and maybe you can relate to just needing to ask big questions privately. So Nicodemus starts out with a statement, but I wonder if there's a question underneath, and or if he's kind of warming up his courage to ask his big questions. He says, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with that person." Right? Can you hear the right at the end of that sentence? It never hurts to flatter someone a little, but I think Nicodemus is also checking before he goes any further. Did I get that right? Do you also think you came from God before I go on and embarrass myself here? Because you see, the Pharisees were highly educated religious leaders who devoted themselves to strict obedience of every aspect of every Jewish law. And I think Jesus is rocking that world for Nicodemus. So this statement is like a little bounce at the end of the diving board. Well, he's talking to Jesus, so Jesus just shoves him into the deep end. Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." It's really important to know that the word Jesus uses has several meanings in Greek. It can mean again, above, anew. If you're following along in a different translation of the Bible, you might see one of those words instead. It's sort of how in English, the word right can mean 90 degrees. It can mean correct. It can mean the right side, not the left side. It can mean a political alignment. So that's part of Nicodemus's confusion, is that he's having trouble with the word anothen, meaning again, above, and anew, all at the same time. And probably with the idea of being born metaphorical. As Christians in 2023, we're well used to this language of being born again, of this idea of coming to God for salvation and experiencing a new life. But this was new for Nicodemus. This is the first time this shows up. So it's almost maybe easier for him, though, to get stuck in the literal rather than to explore the metaphorical. The misunderstanding of Pharisees of every age has been thinking that we can know all the rules, we can follow all the rules, and then ensure that God loves us for doing so. Asking, does God love me, can be a really scary, big question. So having concrete ways to answer it can initially be comforting. But here's the downside. If God's love for me depends on me following all of the rules, I am in trouble. Jesus is breaking this open for Nicodemus, and while it's hard, it's good news. So say it with me, whatever version you know of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him may not perish but have everlasting life. Where does the action start? God. Who's doing the loving? God. Who's doing the giving? God. Who's doing the saving? God. And why? Jesus says for eternal life. And why eternal life? Because God loves us too much to let death and evil have us. This is good news because it means the foundation for everything is love and life. You know, one of my big questions since I've been serving elsewhere has been, why don't we also memorize John 3:17? Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. What if God does love you no matter what? It changes everything. It changes everything, including how we understand the Bible. There's a lot of pain and suffering and judgment and evil and rebellion and disobedience in the Bible. Really ugly stuff. But also running through the Bible is the testimony of God's chesed for humanity. And that's a Hebrew word that means something like everlasting kindness and steadfast love. So here we go, a summary of the Hebrew Bible in 1 minute. The whole follow God's rules thing does not make it out of the third chapter of the Bible. But when people leave the Garden of Eden, God clothes the people and provides for them to provide for themselves. God loves us, no matter what. And when that chosen family of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is tearing themselves apart just as famine is about to hit, God brings them together in Egypt where they will have food. God loves us no matter what. And when the Hebrew children are enslaved and have mostly forgotten God in Egypt, God hears them and God liberates them and then gives them a blueprint for living differently because God loves us no matter what. When the Israelites say, "We want kings like everybody else," God also gives them prophets for directions and correction. God loves us no matter what. When Israel is totally flattened by conquering empires and all seems lost, God goes along for the exile because God loves us no matter what. Now, some of the Israelites come back to the Holy Land, to the Promised Land, and some of them keep living where they are. Some go on to still more new places. But God doesn't play favorites. God goes with them all because God loves us no matter what. God is always surprising us with how big the divine love is, and that is good news. I want a God who loves bigger than me, who loves better than me, who loves me and you and everybody no matter what. Now, God's a God of surprises, and the biggest surprise is when Jesus took on human flesh and became one of us. Again and again, he told us with words how much God loves us. Again and again, he showed us with actions how much God loves us. And when we did our worst and we killed him for this radical message, Christ rose from the dead and blessed us with the Holy Spirit because God loves us, no matter what. And I think that there's big questions underneath a lot of the pain and suffering and angst and tension in our world. What does it take to be loved? How can I know that I am loved? How can I assure that I'm staying loved? What about this no matter what stuff? Well, how long ago was it that Jesus told Nicodemus that God didn't want anyone to perish? How long ago was it that Jesus said he wasn't there to condemn but to save? Yeah, God decided to save you a long time ago before you were even born. And that's why this is our foundation. This is what Jesus came to tell us, our foundation that we can depend on. God loves you, God loves me, God loves us no matter what. Now, this doesn't mean that anything goes. It doesn't mean that it doesn't matter what you do or say. It doesn't mean there's no consequences for our actions. It doesn't mean we just sit back and we don't do anything. But it does matter for how we treat each other. As people, that other people are beloved by God, that we come into relationships and meeting people as people who are beloved by God. It means that if we disagree, if we find ourselves in different places over something, we have a place, a starting place for conversation, a starting place for figuring out how to get along when that happens, knowing that we're all beloved by God no matter where we end up. It means that we can take risks. We can try new things. It means we can have scaffolding in the sanctuary on Sunday morning because we know that the Holy Spirit's going to show up anyway as we are continuing to make our space welcoming for all people. Knowing that God loves us no matter what means that we can be okay pouring out our lives in service instead of running the rat race. Sometimes we will be Nicodemus coming with questions. And other times, Nicodemus will come to us as other people ask questions about our faith and about this great love that we know. We're blessed today to celebrate the sacraments. In our second service, we have the great privilege of baptizing four children into our church family. Baptism is the great big blessing of saying, God loves you no matter what. It's a physical sign of Paul's words that we're in our call to worship. Nothing can separate us from God, nothing. But we are people who are messy and difficult. Our lives are messy and difficult. And so Jesus also gave us communion so that we can be reminded in the very cells of our body, God loves you, God loves us, no matter what. Eat this bread, drink this cup, and know that God loves you. Amen.